From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and you're listening to Idaho Matters. This week, 33 of the 44 Idaho counties held elections to raise taxes for schools and sewers, as well as libraries. But not all of them were successful, including the failure of the $500 million West Ada school levy. Now, this week's vote comes after the Idaho legislature made changes to when schools can hold bond and levy elections. So, what do Tuesday's results mean for schools, for growth, and more importantly, for students? Well, to answer those questions, we turn to Kevin Richard, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Education News. Kevin, it's always good to have you on the show.
Hi, Gemma. How are you?
I'm good. So, Kevin, as I mentioned, there were a lot of things on the ballot this time around. Can we start, though, with that really big elephant in the room? And that is that $500 million West Ada school levy. Can you tell us, first off, you know, what the money was for? And now that it has failed, West Ada says there's going to be immediate impacts.
Yeah, it's going to have an impact right away. So this $500 million levy that West Ada sought on Tuesday, it was a record setter. It was the largest ballot measure, school ballot measure we've seen in state history. And what it would have done, it would have paid for new schools, it would have paid for new career technical programs, it would have covered repairs and improvements, really all across West Ada's 58 schools. It didn't really come close to passing, however. It received, I believe, about 43% of the vote. It needed a 55% threshold to pass. So it wasn't even really a nail biter in terms of Tuesday night's results. And now it's going to leave West Ada scrambling to figure out space as enrollment continues to grow out there.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that, Kevin, because as we know, I mean, that area of the Treasure Valley is arguably the fastest growing area in the state. A lot of families are moving there, which means more students need places to go to school. And these schools, even once they're built, are overcrowded. So what are officials saying? What can they do in regards to where they put these students?
I think the upshot of what you can expect if you're a parent in West Ada is expect your kids to maybe on a longer bus ride as the district tries to figure out where they can put students, where they have space around the district. So maybe longer bus rides, maybe more portables on school sites. And basically, pretty much every school in West Ada has at least one portable on the school site. So you'll probably see more of that if you're hoping to see your child in a career technical program in West Ada. Those are already waitlisted. That is probably going to continue. If anything, those waitlists might actually be longer.
So how did schools do otherwise on Tuesday if we take this levy from West Ada out of the equation?
You know, by and large, they were pretty successful. The only other ballot measure around the state that didn't pass, and again, it's a growth-related proposal. This is up in the Bonneville School District in eastern Idaho, fast-growing district in and around Idaho Falls. They had a bond issue seeking to add another elementary school. That did not get the two-thirds majority. It came pretty close. I think they got like 65% of the vote, but that's not good enough when you need two-thirds. They'll probably be in some of the same sort of plights, facing some of the same kind of decisions that West Ada is going to have to deal with in terms of spacing. Those are the only two school ballot measures that failed, however. Around the state, you saw a number of measures pass. Valley View got a bond issue through that's going to help them build a couple of new elementary schools. Again, Valley View, just like West Ada, just like Bonneville, fast-growing school district. Coeur d'Alene, this was a levy we were watching really closely. 2 years, $50 million. And the district officials were saying that they were really up against it, that they needed that levy to pass. It accounts for about a quarter of their budget. They were saying that if voters in Coeur d'Alene had voted that levy down again, they were looking at school closures. They were looking at maybe getting rid of sports and extracurriculars and electives. Really dire predictions of what could have happened had that levy failed. It passed actually fairly comfortably. I think it got about 64% of the vote. So by and large, a pretty good day for school districts around the state, but West Ada, obviously, the big headline.
Yeah, but also let's go back to Bonneville School District as well over in eastern Idaho, Kevin, because Correct me if I'm wrong, but did they not also try to pass a levy a while ago because it was, and maybe a bond, I don't know if it was a levy or a bond, but it had to do with one of the high schools there being in such disrepair, and that went down in flames as well. So, I mean, you've got these big school districts in dire straits when you look at West Ada and when you look at Bonneville.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question about it. And I think what we will watch now in West Ada and in Bonneville is what do they do from here? We've talked about what the immediate impacts might be in terms of where do you put students? How do you find spots for students? The question I have, and we won't have an answer right away, but we'll watch closely in the weeks and months to come, is do these districts come back and try to take another run at passing something? And that's something I wrote about this week. You know, one of the things that jumped out at me about the election results on Tuesday was a lot of successful ballot measures, bond issues and levies, were repeats. These were proposals that we'd seen in similar forms in March, in November, in August of last year. Districts coming back, tweaking their proposals maybe a little bit, or maybe just taking another run of trying to convince voters to sign on. All of those, you know, quote unquote, repeat ballot measures, those all passed on Tuesday.
But Kevin, you also wrote this week that there are some GOP lawmakers who want to change what you called that second bite of the apple approach, right? That repeat, like the one in Emmett, for example, they had two levies. One failed in March, so they basically put the same one back on the ballot, 2 months later, and it passes.
We've seen lawmakers try to take a run at that on several occasions over the past few years. And what the legislation has focused on is bond issues. Three times in the past several years, the House has passed bills that would have required school districts to wait 11 months. If you fail to pass a bond issue, you've got to wait 11 months, which effectively means you got to wait a year before you go back before voters. Now, a bill like that, if it had become law, that would have affected Valley View, because Valley View ran a bond issue for elementary schools back in August. It fell short of the two-thirds. They came back here in May, you know, 9 months later, with the proposal that did wind up passing on Tuesday. They would not have been on the ballot in May if that 11-month cooling off period had been in place. And I think you've got lawmakers who are very frustrated about these repeat ballot measures. And I think that it wouldn't surprise me to see legislators take another run at trying to restrict these kind of elections. Yeah, this is the same legislature that got rid of the March election, as you talked about it in the opener. I mean, this is not a legislature that is terribly enthusiastic or friendly to the idea of school ballot measures, school levies, school bond issues. There's a lot of skepticism and a lot of desire in the legislature to try to restrict these elections.
Okay, so as you just mentioned, the legislature this year took away that March election date, right, for schools to have bond and levy elections. A, did that have an impact on Tuesday's election? I mean, one could argue, yes, look at West Ada. But how will that then impact West Ada if they decide to try again for this levy?
Yeah, it's too soon to know how that March election is exactly going to affect things, because the March elections took place just as the legislature was passing that law that now eliminates the March elections starting next year. I'll be interested to see what happens in the months to come. Schools have three dates now that they can run elections. They can run them now in August. They can run them in November. I'm going to be curious to see what sort of elections, what sort of election traffic we see in August and November as districts try to go before voters, knowing that they don't have the option of going before voters in March.
Well, and then, Kevin, let's take a look one more time before we move on to what happened with libraries. Is, as we mentioned, these two levies in Emmett, because one of them was $800,000. I bring that up because it will pay for teachers, it will pay for coaches, counselors, special ed staff. This has nothing to do with buildings, anything like that. So is that how school districts are going to have to start paying for their teachers in the future? And you know, with that, we have the legislature taking away when school districts can try to go ask for money in order to, you know, make sure that they have buildings for students. And now they're putting levies on the ballot to say, well, we need to pay people to teach our kids.
Yeah, that's not really new necessarily, but I think it's a project I'm working on in the next few weeks, is to try to take a look at quantifying where these levy dollars are going and where they're targeted. It's not new for districts to be looking at using supplemental levies to pay for teacher salaries, to pay for teacher benefits, to pay for salaries and benefits for classified employees. That was a big chunk of what was at stake in the Coeur d'Alene levy. I think about $7 million of the $25 million would go into teacher salaries. Some districts use these levies even more aggressively to pay for teacher salaries. And mm-hmm. obviously, you know, these are short-term levies. You got to go back every year or two to get them passed. So there's some risk to paying for salaries and benefits with money that you're only getting in a 1 or 2 year shot.
And I know that you talk with the superintendent of the Bonneville school district. And when we look back at what the legislature did by only giving these three dates, he told you that he doesn't want to run a bond or a levy on a primary election date.
No, well, absolutely not. And I'm not surprised. I mean, yeah. So this particular election date, you know, you mentioned it, and I didn't cover the library elections very closely, but yes, you had school elections and library board elections were the big headline grabbers this time around. Who knew that we'd be talking about library board elections as hot elections, but here we are in 2023, and yeah. That's the story. What Scott Wolstenham, the superintendent in Bonneville, is talking about is he doesn't want to run a levy or a bond issue in a May election date in 2024 alongside a presidential primary, alongside primaries for legislature, for Congress, you name it, or 2026, where you have primary elections for governor, lieutenant governor, you know, all the statewide offices, again, legislature. Those are highly partisan elections, and they're primaries. They're partisan elections. And those tend to be, really, really, those elections take on a really strident, polarized tone because of the nature of primary elections in Idaho. He doesn't want any part of having a nonpartisan school ballot measure on the same ballot with those partisan legislative primaries or statewide primaries or presidential primaries. And I can certainly understand where he's coming from on that.
So, I need to wrap up, but I do want to quickly talk about these levies versus bonds, because West Ada and Bonneville ran plant facilities levies instead of bonds. So was that significant since both of those failed?
You know, I don't think it really made a whole lot of difference. It's really interesting, and I'll try to do this really, really quickly, the difference between a levy and a bond. When you do a bond, you can raise more money, but you have to pay for it. You're financing it. It's like financing a car. So you have to put interest into the overall cost of the bond issue. Mm-hmm. What West Ada was trying to do with the levy was to say, okay, it's pay as you go. We're going to raise $50 million a year from the levy, but we're not going to have to finance. They were saying, look, it's going to save taxpayers $255 million in interest that we don't have to pay. Voters weren't convinced. They weren't sold. I think just maybe the overall price of the levy, whether it was a levy or a bond, I think that may have been the deal breaker for voters. I mean, it's still $500 million either way you slice it.
So what happens moving forward, Kevin? I mean, yes, it was a good day for the majority of school districts, but you have two large school districts that now have to go back to the drawing board and who now have this new law in place where maybe they can run another, put something on a ballot come August, or do they wait a year?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, predicting the future off of these elections is really hard to do because West Ada's plant facilities levy fails. Idaho Falls did a much smaller plant facilities levy. It passed. They're going to build a grade school with that. Valley View passed a bond issue. They're building elementary schools in the next couple of years. Bonneville, they didn't get their bond issue passed. They've got to start over. Yeah, I guess we just stay tuned and we see if something comes up on the ballot in August or November. Not a lot of clarity, in my view, about where we are in terms of school finance and school elections based on what we saw. These are, a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of the results.
And let's also put in that mixed bag the fact that who knows what will happen in the legislative session next year, right? So you have that to
look forward to. We never know what's going to happen in next year's legislative session until it happens.
Exactly.
Well, as all predict what's going to happen next year with the legislature.
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that. As always, Kevin. Yeah, really appreciate you coming in today and breaking all of this down for us and going into a deep dive, so we have a better understanding. So really appreciate it.
Anytime, Gemma. Good to be on.
We've been talking with Kevin Richard. He is the senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Education News, talking about Tuesday's school bond and levy elections. If you want to find more results from the election on our website, go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. And of course, we will put links to Kevin's analysis there as well. So I encourage you to read that. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudet. We'll see you tomorrow.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. The mother knows.
It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to The Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR Network.